Open your Bibles, please. I hope you brought it with you this morning. Anytime you go to church, it's not to put the preacher on trial. It's just so that you can get to know your Bible. Amen. Turn to the middle of your Bible. That should be the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, right in the middle. And then find chapter number 37. Chapter number 37. That lady sitting next to you, she's a real nice lady. You'll like her. Psalm chapter 37. Would you stand with us, please, in honor to God's word, as is our custom here? We'd appreciate that a great deal. Thank you very, very much. Psalm chapter 37, one verse here, then we'll go into the book of Exodus. Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 27. 37, 27. Bless you. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Now, if you're not careful, it sounds like if you depart from evil and do good, that you'll be saved. That's not what this verse is talking about. I'll explain it later on. Go to the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus. Very first book in the Bible is Genesis. The next one will be Exodus, and then find chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Chapter number 5 and verse number 1. You read along with me silently. I'll read it out loud. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now, I'll try to keep that in mind. Go to 2 Corinthians, way up in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Do not be misled by what you read. Please understand, all the Bible is a book. It's called a canon. It is a book. I know it's a lot of, it's like chapters or books that all make one book. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Amen. The misunderstandings between these two things here, if that's you, I'm not making fun of you. A lot of people just have never been taught. They don't know. But I'm telling you, there are none. So if you read a verse in the Bible that appears to mean this, and yet there are half a dozen verses over here that says otherwise, I misunderstand this verse. Yes. Okay, that makes sense? Amen. Okay, so let's have prayer. Father, thank you for the Bible. Help me to help your people. Help me to settle them in on what it is you're trying to do and why. What is our part? What are we supposed to be doing and why do we need to do that? I do not want to mislead anybody. I do not want to confuse anybody. So help me, Lord, please, as simplified as possible. Not that these people would not understand, but there's a lot of people do not understand Bible. They just don't. I want to help them. I know you want me to help them. So I pray that this message this morning will make this subject clear, that they could go on their way understanding what God has to say and why. Thank you for all you've done. Bless the dear folks this morning. Help them over in the Spanish ministry. Help them in the junior churches and our nurseries. Thank you for all you have done for us this morning. Watch over those that are sick or those that are not here, those that are traveling, and those watching live stream. Lord, may it be a blessing to them also. Help us to do what we're supposed to do, and we'll leave the rest of it up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
She found an old King James Bible in that cheap hotel. She read the story about Jesus and the woman at the well. She found herself inside those pages and wondered how she had got so far gone. So far away from home, And she cried, I'll do anything. I'll pay any price. Do whatever it takes to make something of my life. I'll find a way to start all over and wipe the slate completely clean. I'll do anything. From the other side of Calvary, God saw us lost. He looked at you and me. Then he looked at the cross. Oh, the price, the sacrifice it would take. Who would pay and who would go? Then Jesus stepped down from his throne and he said, I'll do anything, I'll pay any price, do whatever it takes to make something of their lives. I'll find a way to start all over and wipe the slate completely clean. I'll do anything. I'll take up that cross, lay down my life, and go to Calvary. I'll go through hell 3 days and come back with the keys. I'll do anything. I'll pay any price. Do whatever it takes to make something of their lives. I'll find a way to start all over and wipe the slate completely clean. I'll do anything. I'll do anything.
Thank you. Little tenty, okay? Make somebody, at least up here, okay? Someone says, Pastor, I don't get it. I don't do anything anymore in the world or with those people that are in the world. Yet I still feel so far from God, like I'm empty. I don't get it. Someone says, I used to go to that church for a while. I tried to separate and go along with everything that the rule said, and it didn't help me to get a clear presentation or getting closer to God. I don't know, after doing all that, I just kind of felt empty. A teenager says, that's my church, I go to school there. My mom and dad and family go along with all the rules, and we attend and we support and we do everything that we're asked to do. I guess that's what walking with God's all about. But it sure feels empty. Someone said, it just didn't work for me. No matter what I gave up, no matter what I stayed away from, no matter who I quit being around, just keep drawing me back, and I'm filling up my life with what I used to be. I'm very empty, preacher. I don't understand it. I want to talk to you this morning. Every Christian in here needs to listen to this part. Why separation leaves a Christian empty? Why separation leaves a Christian empty? Father, thank you for the Bible. Help me, Lord, please. I get no joy out of people really telling me, they're being nice, I understand that, telling me what a great job I did. If they miss the message, if they miss you in this, it isn't going to do a bit of good. So I pray that this morning everyone will give me their undivided attention as I try to express and explain this very, very important truth, that they might get a hold of it. Help us this morning in all we're about ready to do. For Christ's sake, we pray these things. Amen. Why do Christians fuss about separation so much? Why do we have to do this? How come we have to? Do we have to do that too? You mean I'm not allowed to? How come I have to? We do that all the time. Why do they look at churches like ours and decide to leave it to go to a church with less standards and less separation? Why do they blame the reason that they just cannot get to know God on the rules and the regulations and the separations and I can't? And why do we have to? Why do they do that? I'll tell you why. Because separation left them empty. It didn't fill up their life, and they don't understand that. I'm doing everything I was told to do. I've quit doing everything they said we shouldn't do. I started doing everything they told me is right to do. I've done all that, preacher, but yet something is just, I don't feel like I'm have God actually living. I'm not. By the way, this morning I'm not talking about salvation. Right. If you're not saved, this has nothing to do with you to begin with. Right. So when you hear me make all these statements, I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about those of us that are saved. Those of us that are saved. It is not that they did not truly want to know God and walk with Him. They did. Just like you do. Preacher, I got saved. I want to learn God. I want to walk with God. I want to know God on a personal level like I'm one of His children. They gave up things. They stopped things. They started things. And yet feel as though they still do not know God. There are a lot of Baptist people that are that way. We go through all the motions because that's what we were told to do. We were told that's what people of Christianity, that's just what we're supposed to do. And if they're absolutely honest, a lot of people feel that way. I don't do this. I don't go there. I'm not allowed to do that. I better do this. I don't do that. And we could name a whole list full of things, but most of us would never say, I still don't feel like I'm close to God, preacher. After all that I did, to get close to God, I don't feel close to God. You say, preacher, why? Isn't God pleased when I separate from worldliness and sin? Isn't God pleased with that? Then why do I feel so empty if He's pleased with me doing that and I have actually done that, no matter what I give up or no matter what I stay away from? If He's pleased with me not sinning and staying away from the world, why do I still feel so empty? That's a great question that a lot of Christians just cannot seem to answer. Now listen very carefully. I'm going to give you some answers. Because stopping things and quitting things and getting away from things is not all there is to biblical separation. It's a key word, biblical separation. I want you to go to Psalm 37 and verse 27. One of our, let me show you. I'm going to show you what biblical separation is. That's all I'm going to talk about this morning. Biblical separation. Why does separation leave us empty? I want you to go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look at verse number 27. I want you to notice the two things he talks about here. In Psalm 37, 27, see what he says? Depart from evil, what's that conjunction? And do good. Did you understand it? Did you see that? He didn't just say, depart from evil. He said, and do good, right? I want you to go to Exodus 32. We were there earlier, Exodus 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Moses here is speaking, and he makes a stand with God's people and says this. Ready? Look at it. Who is on the Lord's side? Question mark. Then he says, let him come unto me. So he didn't just say, who's on the Lord's side, and that was it. He said, if you're on the Lord's side, come unto me. Come this direction is what you want to do. Biblical separation is twofold. There's two sides. It is depart from so you can do good.
Amen.
I'll explain it. It's depart from so I can do good. It is separation from so I can separate unto.
Amen.
It is get away from the world so that I can be filled up with God.
Amen.
It is empty out the vessel so I can fill up the vessel with God. It is don't fellowship with the world so I can fully fellowship with God. I'll try to explain this. Biblical separation, when you mention that, most people say, yeah, you guys can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't. And that's all they talk about. And we go like this. Yeah, I know it. You know why? Because we don't like it. Because we do not understand what true biblical separation is all about and why. Biblical separation is not just don't. It is you can. That's both sides of what true biblical separation is all about. Biblical separation is stay away from so you can go unto. Now, most churches don't teach this anymore. Even most Baptist churches don't anymore. When a Christian just does the first part, stop, from, can't, they're very empty unless they do the second part. And that's why Christians feel empty, even though it seems like they don't do anything anymore. We even breathe dirty air. I mean, come on. You blame your emptiness and unfulfilled life and not being closer to God on separation doesn't work. That's what we say. I hear it all the time. No, your kind of separation does not work. But there's a reason for it. You didn't go about it right, and you are causing your own emptiness, whether you realize it or not. And I don't blame you for not liking it. Look, understand something. When a person is empty, we don't like that. What you do not recognize is the world keeps taking stuff from you that God intended you to have. So, okay, for example, families normally are raised by one parent anymore. God did not design that, so you got a hole in your life. Let's call it the dad, okay? So we got this hole in our life. God intended for a man to be there, but there's a big hole in your life, okay? Then God expected that people go to church. We don't do that, so there's another hole in our life. And we come to find out there's all these holes, and the world just keeps putting more holes in our life, and it puts junk in there. And God said, no, that's not what I designed. So like me, I grew up without a dad after about, 7, 8 years old. And so God says, no, that's not what I intended. So as I begin to serve God, God takes all of those holes and begins to put someone in there or something in there that belongs there. Okay, this was taken away, but I'm going to put that in there. So I have now men that I, throughout my 50-some years of Christian life, that have been like a dad to me. They taught me trade. They taught me how to work. They taught me how to pray. They taught me how to dress. They taught me how to talk to other people. Like a dad should be doing. So God said, I'll take care of that for you. The world took that from you. I'll put something in it. Yeah, but I don't have my original dad. God said, I will take care of that. Well, these are called brothers and sisters in Christ. This is called the house of God, right? He's called our father. We have an elder brother. He's like a family. And God said, I'll take care of all of that for you. You see, what happens, we blame our emptiness on separation. But the separation that most people do is only one-sided. And because of that, you feel very empty because you stop doing everything, being around everything, and you have this big hole in your life.
Right.
And the preacher keeps saying, so that you can get to know God. You'll never get to know God by only separating from the world. Your kind of separation doesn't work. But biblical separation is the only way to know God. Biblical separation is the only way to know God.
Amen.
You can stop all you want to. You'll never get to know God. You stop so I can start.
Amen.
I quit so I can add.
Amen.
I stay away from so I can go to. I'll try to explain even more as we go on. Would you help me with that, please, fellas? I do not blame you if this is you for feeling empty, because that's what you are. I don't do anything for more, so I emptied out everything over here. But I never added anything over here, so guess what you have? Just a big empty life struggling to do good. And it's like, why do I feel empty? The more I try to stop doing everything, the more empty and out of place I feel. This is all of our young people feel this way. Moms and dads, you wouldn't say this, but you feel that way a lot. I can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. I guess that's what separation is all about. I guess that's what walking with God's all about. I guess this is the way you get to know God. No, that's only half of it. I want to try to show you something here this morning. In the next half hour or so, when you get there. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I want to show you. So I normally set this over here, but now I'm going to set it over here. So those of you that are over here, you cannot see what I'm doing over here. You'd almost think there's two sides to this thing. Anyway, go. Ready? This towel needs to go underneath all that. Not okay, as long as it doesn't get spilled. Okay. Now, again, we're not talking salvation. Can anybody hear me? Okay, we're not talking about salvation. Everything I'm getting ready to show has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation had everything to do with Jesus, and you just accept that. The end of the story, all right? What happened when you got saved? Your sins were forgiven. That's all that took place. A lot of people say, I got saved and God gave me joy. He may have, but that is not included in on salvation. Salvation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when sins are forgiven, okay? However, we as Christians have added a lot that we think comes along automatically with just getting saved. That's not true. If that's true, how come some of us are so miserable and we're trying our best to live for Christ? We feel empty and we're trying our best to live for Christ. Here's what happens. Before you got saved, your life was filled up with self. I'm going to call it dirt, okay? You go like this. Wait a minute, what's he talking about? Okay, so we'll call self, all right? What you wanted, what you thought, direction you wanted to go, what you believe, all these kinds of things. Okay, this was you. This is us. Me, okay? Us. There you are, all right? You got saved and your sins were forgiven. That's still you. See, this is the part you fuss with. No, he forgave me all my sins. Never be brought up again. God will never bring those against you again. Never be judged for your sins again. The problem is, and I hate to tell you this, I still have tattoos and I'm saved. I have scars on my body from different things in the world and fighting and stuff. And they didn't go away because I got saved. I have stuff in my mind that never went away and I'm saved. I have things I want to do, what I think is right, and I'm saved. So I still have a lot of stuff inside of me, but I'm saved. When I got saved, it's just my ledger before God that had all these sins that I'm accountable for taken away. But this is my life down here. Now, I'll try to explain this as I go. Now, when this happens, as I live for God, I'll explain this to you in a minute. As I am walking with God, as I'm learning God, God begins to tell me things I shouldn't do and things He wants me to do. God said, I want you to separate from the world so you can come unto me. Not talking salvation. We're talking about now that I am saved, I'm God's child. What does He want from me? He doesn't want me to stay there because He cannot fellowship with me and walk with me. I'm a forgiven child of God. So, this is me. And then what happens a little at a time as I'm walking with God, here's what begins to happen. Okay? All right. There. A couple of years later. I still have dirt. I still have things in my life that should not be there. So God said, that has to go. You need to get that out. I don't approve of that. Look at me. I'm a saved child of God and still have things in my, you can call them problems. We hate saying sin anymore. Well, I'm not all I should be. I have some issues. No, you have sin in your life. As a Christian. And so what happens is, I have to get this out. God helps me to do this as I walk with him, as I learn the Bible, as I see what good Christians are supposed to do, I have to get this stuff out of my life. This is me, what I think, what I like, what I want to do, the philosophies of the world, my personal pride, my ways of living. This has all got to go. You see, when you got saved, you gave your life to him.
Amen.
But on that particular day, your sins were forgiven. But the stuff in your life is still there. Now, so what happens is, as you walk with God, God's word, the Bible said, by the washing of the water of the word, God takes the word of God and starts cleaning us up. And we end up like that. As we go on, all of this starts coming out. If you're doing what God wants you to do, if you're in a good Baptist church and you're listening and you understand the word of God and you do what God told you to do, you start looking like this. You say, yeah, that's the way to do it. It's an empty jar. It's a clean, empty jar. It's a clean, empty jar. I don't have this in me, but I'm not filled up with that either. You know what I am? I'm a Christian that's clean now. But I'm not filled up with the Lord. I no longer have this junk in me, my will, what I want, who I want to hang around with, what I think's right and wrong, because as I walk with God, he starts teaching me and training me through the local church. It's important. Is this why the devil and many people have given in to, I don't need the local church? You can't live a good Christian life without a local church.
Amen.
Now, you can be saved anywhere.
But
you cannot live a good Christian life without going to church regularly.
Amen.
As Brother Dr. Robertson, you say three to thrive.
Amen.
You need Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, or you're not going to thrive as a Christian.
That's right.
You'll always have some of this still in you. Yeah. Understand, you're not filled with God even with that in you. If I put all of this water in here, it is not pure anymore.
Right.
I am not filled with God. I still have stuff, God's word. This is what messages do. This is what you said to him, go like, yes, I think he's talking to me. What's he doing looking at me like that for? I feel so guilty. Big, good, wonderful, yay.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what that's about? Something's not right. That's what good fathers do.
Amen.
That's what good preachers do. That's what God does. That's why a lot in the Bible is, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. I don't want you doing this. That's what good fathers do. You go to Hebrews chapter number 12, you find out that God chastises every son that belongeth to him.
Amen.
He tells us why. Because I love you. But what have we been told as parents? I love them too much to spank them. You won't believe this. God said, no, you hate them. That's why you're not spanking them. Don't we rebel against what God says? So God said, I don't want you to be this way. Look, however, this has got to be taken care of. This is what I want in your life. This is where a lot of Christians are. We're just clean. You couldn't blame us for anything. We've given up everything. We do everything right. We don't even lift our eyebrows when we're not supposed to. Our nose does not flare because we're afraid somebody will misjudge us. We don't do anything anymore. And we're very empty. You know why? That's not what God had in mind about separation. So what happens here? We think that getting busy for God is filling ourselves up with God. So let me get this right. If I simply do more for God, that means God and I are walking together. Then how come people feel so empty?
Right.
The problem is many Christians have separated from, but they've never separated unto. Again, I'm not speaking about salvation. I want you to keep that in mind. By the way, this is why many people keep going back, as it said in Egypt, to the leeks and onions and melons of the world.
Right.
The Jews got saved by the Passover, the shedding of the blood. They weren't out of Egypt and under Pharaoh's rule, which represents the world and Satan, for a month and a half. And they started desiring to go back there again.
Right.
Now, I've never understood this on a lot of levels. Number one, Why would you desire to go back and leeks and onions and melons? I mean, I'd rather stay in the wilderness without anything, I think. But a lot of people, I'm not a salad eater, in case you can figure that out. A salad's for rabbits, I think, I'm pretty sure. What did Jesus say? Children, do you have any meat? That's what he said. I was quoting the Bible to you. He didn't say, children, do you have any salad? He didn't say that. Why do so many Christians turn back, the Bible said, to the weak and beggarly elements of... Why is that? Why do so many Christians try Christianity and it doesn't work for them? And it kind of left me empty and I'm not allowed to do anything. And so they go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world because they're empty. They're empty. They feel very, very empty. The world does not have anything of real quality to offer, but it's a whole lot better than empty. It's a whole lot better than empty. Are you listening to me? It doesn't have anything of quality to offer. It doesn't. But it's a whole lot better than empty. So a lot of people find themselves heading in the right direction. God actually, and the Bible and other Christians say, you shouldn't do this, you have to do that. And we start doing this. And it's the right thing to do. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting away from the world and sinful things. The Bible teaches that. Amen.
Amen.
So, there we are. And this is where a lot of people stop.
Right.
This is where you hear people going like this. Preacher, I don't do that. You can't blame me for that. I know. You're shiny, you're clean, nothing in there, but you're empty. That is not biblical separation. Biblical separation is not just don't. Biblical separation is do. But you have to do this to become this, to be filled up with this. So a lot of people do this, and here's where we're at. I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't say that, I don't watch that, I don't go there, I don't run around with them. I mean, we have a whole laundry list of things that we don't do. And back, actually, the real good Christian says, I can't do it, you can't do it either. We're famous for doing that. We call those people Pharisees. Now, so what happens here is the world does this. If you have any separation from the world, but have not built a personal relationship with God, you got a big empty spot. Guess what gets blamed for that? Separation. Standards. I have to. I'm not allowed. We don't do that at our church. Those kinds of things. That's what gets blamed for it. If you only separate from, but not unto, you miss the whole point of separating from. The whole point of separating from is so I can go unto.
Come on.
Right. You understand? The whole point of separation isn't just to get rid of everything. It is to get rid of everything so I can add everything. Because God will not dwell inside of that.
Amen.
Not talking about salvation. Listen to me very carefully. The very reason to depart from sin and worldliness was so that you could walk with God in righteousness. That's the point. Preacher, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? How come we're not allowed to do this? How come we're not allowed to do that? First of all, you're not allowing God to empty out the stuff that shouldn't be there. You're fussing with God like a spoiled child, right? Your kids say that all the time. Why? I don't like it. How come we have to? First of all, my kids never talk to me that way.
Amen.
I was watching a guy the other day. I'm just telling you, I just wanted to grab that kid by the nape of the neck and love on him a little bit. I am not a big fan at all of smart mouth rebellious children.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
And if you don't say anything, smart mouth, just your lackadaisical, I could care less look is enough to make me want to pray for you.
Amen.
You live in America. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Anyway, back to the Lord loving you, okay? Preacher, I could never be what God wants me to be. How am I supposed to depart unto God? Well, you're going to have to depart from before you can depart unto. I can go halfway and rid myself of the world and of sinfulness without going the rest of the way. You're going to leave yourself empty. And this is why churches like this get blamed for And you call it, well, they won't let me do anything. We're not allowed to do that. So from separating from, and then you say, well, there's separation and we're not allowed to do this. We can't do that. We can't do that. Now, why would I want you and God want you to, no, 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 yes, you got to. No, that's what I want. Why would we preach that? Right. Why would we even do that? Is that what it's all about? Just that? No, what it's about is this has to stop so I can go over here and walk with God in righteousness. I'll show you some scripture here in just a second here. Now, I can never be what God wants me to be and what God wants me to do without taking care of the first half and the second half. Not one or the other. If all I do is simply conform to a bunch of rules, Baptist Christians. Oh, that's where I go to church. They don't want us doing that. What a lousy way to explain to your friends and family, well, the preacher's against it. I'm against a whole bunch of stuff. Is that your reasoning? Is that what you tell people? At our church, we don't do that. At our church, we do. So in other words, you really don't like it. You're going, that's called conformity. That's called conformity. And then you tell everybody, basically, separation is the reason I do. And besides that, I go there. I don't feel a thing. I don't sense anything. Nothing's filling me up. I don't seem to know how to walk with God. And so we quit. And the world eats us right back up again. So if all I do is to conform to a bunch of rules, this is why people panic as soon as they hear the word separation. Standards, convictions. Separation is or has left a real bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because they never had true biblical separation, so they do not understand why this has got to go. I don't get it, preacher, because you did all that. This is what God wants? Just a clean, empty vessel? Is that what God wants in a Christian's life? Is that why I had to go through all this heartache and all this leaving behind and I can't do that and I need to stop that? God's not pleased with this and they told me this isn't right? Is that why I did all that just to be this? A clean, empty vessel. Look, if you can hear that squeaks. I'm squeaky clean, inside and out. That's what Christianity is. No.
That's right.
No, that is not what Christianity is. Christianity is Christ and God. Christianity is not emptying you out of you. Christianity is, this has to be done before this can be done. But here's where most people stop. So you hate Christianity. You do it so nobody will talk about you. You do it because, well, that's what they said we had to do. We don't. This is why a lot of Christians really do not love the Lord. They actually love their standard. I don't do anything anymore. You even wear a mask when you're not supposed to so you don't breathe dirty air. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so what happens is this. If Christians ever got a real taste of why God said you need to separate from, and you ever start separating unto, bingo. I'm not Catholic, but bingo. There you go. Now, separation from worldliness and sin and wrong does not mean you know God. Do you understand? I don't run around in sin. I don't run around with worldly people. I don't do things in the world anymore, so therefore I know God. That's not true. That's not true at all. Separation from only clears the way so you can separate unto. Okay? You cannot put two different substance in the same area and say, I have one or the other. God will not dwell with unrighteous. God will not do that. God will forgive a sinner wherever you're at. But now we're talking about walking with God, which I'll talk to you about here in a minute. The sad part about the second part of separation, many have no idea what I'm even talking about. Isn't that sad? Even people have been coming here for some time. You still look at me with this confused look like, what does that mean exactly? What do you mean, filled up with God? We know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I better not do this, God doesn't like that. We're getting that part down. But we don't understand how to walk with God and how to let God live inside of us. Many pride themselves on how separated they are from the world. I mean, we really pride ourselves on that. Yet they are empty and really do not know God. And when you're empty, the world will keep trying to call you back. Just like happened with the Israelites in Egypt, Pharaoh said, what in the world are we doing letting these people go? We're going to go after them and bring them back. If you read the Old Testament very much, you find time and time again, one thing among many that God was really displeased with them was they went back to their old worship, their old idols, their old ways of life, and said, these be our God. This is what life's all about. God was really upset with them because of that. The other thing was that they murmured and complained about everything. It sounds like America, doesn't it? Do you understand what I mean when I use terms like I walked with God today? Do you think what that means is I didn't do anything wrong? No, that just means you didn't do anything wrong. I walked with God. That's a verb. That's an active thing. That's a thing that you do. How about this? I talked with God today. Do you even know what that means? Don't miss tonight. I'm going to read you something tonight. It's going to touch your heart a lot. Do you know what I mean when I say God led me today? Now, God's not here. But I said God led me today. Do you know what I'm even talking about? How about this? I loved on God this morning. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, even most Baptists, we pride ourselves on living clean lives. Oh, so you mean you're kind of like the empty, clean vessel? Do you know what I mean when God showed me something in His Word? Do you know what I mean? Do you understand that part? How about my desire match God's desire today? Do you know what I mean by that? Do you know what I mean? John 7:17, do you know what that means? God did not create you, then one day save you just so you could live a cleaner life. Let me say it again. God did not one day save you just so you could live a clean life. We think that's what Christianity is. I don't do anything God disapproves of anymore. We think that's what Christianity is all about. God saved you, so the very purpose that man was created, Adam, was to fellowship with God, to walk with God, to be with God. Not just to be clean, to be with God. Look, the very purpose for cleaning up your life was so you could get closer to God in fellowship and share things with Him. Salvation by itself was the beginning of that. That's not the all in all. I have to separate now from so I can go to. I'll show you verses for that here in just a moment. Cleaning up your life does not mean you know God or have a great relationship with God. Let me show you what I'm talking about in Scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Very carnal church. Very carnal by that. I mean, they were saved, but they were so worldly, it was pathetic. I mean, they were doing everything wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, I want you to pay attention to several things I'm going to bring your attention to. Ready? These are saved people. At the beginning of the book at Corinth, he called them saints. He was writing to a local church. These were people who knew the Lord, and yet they had all kinds of problems in their life. They still were filled up. You check it out. They were still filled up with self and what they wanted and what they thought was right, and I'll sue my brother, and I don't believe in the resurrection, and I don't think the Lord's Supper ought to be handled this way. Now listen to me. They were saved people. They still had a lot of themselves in themselves. So Paul keeps writing to them and telling them, look, that's got to stop. And that's got to stop. And that's got to stop. And we can't do this. You name it. Paul, I don't know too many preachers anymore that'll preach verse by verse on 1 Corinthians, but I did. Men should not have long hair. Women's heads should not be buzzed. There's a reason we say this. And it didn't just sort of make you miserable. So what happens is we end up, okay. And this is the way we end up. You know what we do? I don't think I like that Baptist church. I like when people go, I just don't read the Bible that way. Come on up here and tell me how you read the Bible. Amen. They won't do it. Because as soon as you do, you get into, I think, I suppose, I know someone who, right? And I just don't choose to do that. So watch what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. He's writing to Christians. Watch what he says. Starting in verse number 14. Wrong chapter. There we go. Starting verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God said when you hook up with unbelievers, it's unequal. It won't work. Somebody's going to be pulling all the weight, all the responsibility. They're going to be trying to do right, and the other person's just hanging out. Okay? Ready? For, or because, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's a good point. And what communion hath light with darkness? I did this in my class the other day. If all of these windows were closed and I turned off the light, it doesn't gradually get dark. Darkness will take over any place where light is not. Instantly. So as light goes out, darkness moves in. Light increases, darkness goes away. As soon as I turn the lights back on, boom, darkness is gone. You understand? Okay, so watch what he says here. Verse number 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. Now we think of idols, statues, and stuff like this. Do you know if you put yourself before God, you are an idol? Back in the old days, in the 50s and 60s, when rock and roll singers came out, they go, that's my idol. And we thought, isn't that cute? They just like that person a lot. No, they're worshiping that person a lot. You put them before God. Watch what happens here. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. Because of that, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them. Come out. Come out from among them. Got to leave that. Be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He's not talking about salvation. Here's what he's talking about. Look at verse 18. And I will be a father. God wants to have a father-son relationship with you, not just a God-savior relationship with you. In order to do that, okay, parents, without talking out loud, you got a spoiled little brat. I'm talking about all of them. You got a spoiled little brat, and dad says, mom says, take him to the store with you. I ain't taking him to the store with me. He's your son. Yeah, I know that. Take him to the store with you. No, because he's spoiled. He's a brat. You don't want to do that. First of all, the reason you don't want to do it is because you haven't been doing things right at home. I could teach you these things, but here's what happens. So what happens is, because of that, you just really don't want to hang around the kid. By the way, the kid don't want to hang around you either. What kind of relationship is that? Oh, I know it's a father. But there's not a father-son relationship, really, is there? So watch what he says here. Watch. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what he's saying? You got to stop all of this because verse number 18 of chapter 6 and verse number 1 of chapter 7 is what I want. So this has got to stop. So we can have this kind of relationship. Do you understand? And because I've stopped all of this and have not built this kind of relationship, I'm empty. I go to church. I'm not even sure why I do all this stuff. How come I got to go there all the time? How come everybody has to dress that way? Well, they just want puppets. That's what the world wants is puppets. Let me give you an example here. Emptying yourself of all things, yet not filling yourself up with him, leaves you empty. No world. No relationship with God? Big emptiness. I told you before when the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. You can go back there and read that if you want to. They're in Exodus. You're going to find out that God said this. Now look, the night you get saved, when the Passover, you know Passover? The judgment Passover? Are you familiar with that story? Okay. He said, here's what you better do. I want the blood applied to the door of your house. When the death angel passes over, he'll see the blood and pass over. This is what happens when judgment, which is coming, when judgment is coming, God is not looking for the churchgoer, the nice person, the person who never does anything wrong. God is looking to see if the blood's been applied. When the blood is applied, judgment is passed over. Or better yet, Jesus took the judgment, and because of that, it's passed over us. Okay? Now, we're all done. No, we're not. Why do you think you were left here on this earth? Just to live a nice, clean life and nobody even... Please forgive me for saying this. How many people around where you live or work even know you're a Christian? Ah, I didn't say you went to church. Well, I think they know. I'm pretty sure they know. Yeah, I think they know I'm a Christian. What do you mean you think? Why don't you just go talk to them?
Right. Amen.
Well, I think witnessing is kind of a private thing. I think you don't know your Bible very well.
Amen.
You said that's your opinion. No, that's Bible.
Yeah.
Bible said go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim.
Yeah.
Okay? So what happened was this. They were not just to leave Egypt. Here's where we lose most newly saved Christians. Ready? The very night that the blood was applied and the death angel passed over, God told them ahead of time. It's like listening to a Baptist preacher. You need to get away from the life you've been living and come out to where I'm at.
Right.
Pharaoh wanted them to, okay, so you're saved. Stay here. It's a big deal. Moses said, no. God said we need to go all the way out in the wilderness.
Right.
We need to go all the way out where he's at. Okay, okay. Well, go, but just don't go that far away. Notice how the world keeps trying to hang on to you.
Right.
No, not true. I'm going to church. Hey, that's great. You're still going out with us on Friday, right?
Yeah, come on.
Still trying to hang on to you.
Yeah, right.
Still trying to hang on to you, right? And so God told the Israelites, here's what I want you to do. The very night that the death angel passes over and the blood is applied, I want you to already be ready. I want you to have your sandals on. I want you to have your backpack on. I want you to have your kids loaded. I want you to get out of Egypt. Now, let's assume they got out of Egypt and didn't go unto the Lord. Moses told Pharaoh over and over again, get out of Egypt so you can come unto me. What would happen if they got out of Egypt and didn't go unto the Lord? They would be in the wilderness, an empty place. Right? And so they went forward, and as God began to teach him about himself, and they should have left certain things behind, they didn't. They kept taking their old life with them. And God said, okay, it's not going to work. Because what I wanted was for you to leave that so you could come unto me.
Amen.
Pharaoh said, stay here. I mean, why do you have to change the way you're dressed just because you got saved? I know what it is. It's that church you're going to. You notice the Lord never gets blamed for it.
Yeah.
Church and preachers do.
Yes.
But I'm showing you Bible. I'll show you even a lot more Bible. I'll talk Bible with you all day long if that's what you want to know. I won't argue with your personal beliefs.
Yeah. Right.
But if you have Bible, let's hear it.
Yeah.
So what happens is this. Just leaving Egypt but not going unto God left them with no Egypt and no walk with God. Blood was applied. But they were empty in an in-between place. The Apostle Paul said this, that I may know him and the fellowship and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know what Paul will say? I will stop this, stop that, go here, do anything. Like he said, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Right? That was when we got started. Then God began to say, oh, that's got to go. No, see, people will never see me as long as you are still there. And we start going, okay, well, if that's what God wants. Okay, well, if that's what God wants.
Right.
Then somewhere along in here, some of us draw a line. Wait a minute, that's enough of that.
Right.
So we go and find a church that we like instead of one we need.
Right.
We go to one we like. So then those of us that are really good Christians, we end up right there. You can't blame me for that. Preacher, I was on time. You told us to pray, and I prayed that morning. You told us to read, and I read that day. You told us to give that up, and I gave that up, and that's us. And we don't like Christianity. We'd never say that. But this is what God had in mind. Before I can do this, I have got to get rid of that, but I'm not supposed to stop right here. This is necessary so he can do this.
Amen.
Paul went through a lot of things. You know what he's saying? Privation, suffering, doing without, all the stuff of the world is so I can know God better. It wasn't just this. You know how much I've suffered? Do you know how much I've given up for the Lord? First of all, you didn't give up anything for him. Are we trying to weigh up what he's worth by what we gave up? That scale will never move. Because it's this way. So what happened? Paul said, I go through all this so I can fill my life up with him. There's one reason he said, if there be no resurrection from the dead, we might as well eat and drink for tomorrow. We're just going to die. So what are we doing all this for? He was not doing all this just to be seen of men and influence them, but to get closer to God, that I may know him, that I may know him. If you're saved, one day God began to speak to you and you got saved. You gave your life to Christ. And you began to separate from things that was either preached or you went, God doesn't like that, does he? And you begin to make these adjustments in your life, okay? That's got to go and that's got to go. You know, I just don't think God's pleased with that's got to go. We start doing that. We'll not just leave. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back to take us home someday? You believe that? Okay. So, I got saved, cleaned up my life, we're separated from this world into Jesus. Now, let's just assume that I do all of that, and when it comes time to die, we just go out in space. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of living like this? What's the purpose of doing without? What's the purpose of making myself do what is right if all I'm going to do is end up out in space? That's why they call it space, emptiness. That would be kind of empty, wouldn't it? Let me see. I got saved. I lived for the Lord. I tried to do what's right. I did everything I was supposed to do. And when it comes time to die, I just go out in space. You know, like a lot of people go, no, we just be playing harps and or we just become spirits and it doesn't matter and all that foolish, made up, silly lies that people do. So, watch what happens. If we just left this world without going unto Jesus, space, emptiness, nothingness. Sounds lonely, doesn't it? The point of leaving where we are, is that not our hope? Jesus is coming back someday. No, it's not. You just need to be good, that's all. You just need not to do stuff, that's all. That's all you need to do. Well, how's that? Let me see. When I die, I just go into space, and so I'm trying to do all. The Apostle Paul said we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we're just going to die. You mean after that we just go off into space and that's it? No, there's Jesus to go to. Jesus sits to the right hand of the Father in the third heaven. That's where God wants us to go. That's our future home, is to be with him. It's not just do this, don't do that, act this way so nobody can blame me for anything. I'm doing this to live pleasing to my Father. So we have a Father-Son relationship because he's coming back and I'm going to go be with him. Amen. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be there and be pleasing to him. Perhaps you say, I don't think separation from worldly things means you're a godly person. I agree with you. Separation from worldly things does not make you a godly person. Living godly makes you a godly person. Stopping things doesn't make you a godly person. Perhaps you say, I don't believe keeping a bunch of man-made rules or Bible rules is the way to know God. I disagree with you. Here's where the world is eating our lunch. Remember, we're talking about saved. And they will tell you, a lot of these goofy churches and preachers and friends will tell you, at our church, we don't have to stop doing that. At our church, we don't have to do that. At our church, we don't have to do that. They're not even here. So you wonder, huh, I wonder why we have to do that. It's not to do this. it is to have this.
Amen.
So, is that worth it? Separation leaves a lot of Christians empty. We don't even know why. We come to church. Hey, I said church Sunday morning. Didn't mean a thing to you, did it? Hey, how'd you like that sermon? Ooh, what was that about? Yeah, that was a good one. Remember the joke. What was that about? I forgot what that was about. But I was at church. You can't blame me for that. Right? We give. We don't know why. Man, that's what they told us we're supposed to do in that church. We don't even know why. We do not know the reason why, the purpose for the separation. Because we only go halfway and it doesn't make sense to us. Halfway is just that. Halfway, it's not all the way. And that's where we're messing up. Separation is hated and misunderstood by most because it's understood and practiced on part, not the whole. The first part from is the necessary first to the necessary unto. It's necessary. This is necessary. God is not going to put up with this. Well, I think God ought to accept me for what I am. God will never do that. God will accept you for where you're at. But God will not accept what you are. God will take you to where you're supposed to be. God saved people in the middle of Egypt and then told them, now you need to get out of here.
Right.
And then he gave them the Ten Commandments. And then he told them what pleased them. And then he kept leading them all along the way. God will not accept what you are.
Right.
You need to accept what he is and start following. He's God, you're not.
Amen.
Quit making up Bible what you think is right and wrong. This generation is successful. It's just, they're so filled with themselves. But I think, please forgive me for saying this, we don't care what you think. What's the Bible you have for thinking that way?
Amen.
Then on top of that, you say, I believe I am saved. Where's the Bible for why you're living the way you are?
Amen.
Well, if that's the way that church is, I'm leaving. Why? I don't get anything out. I don't get anything from God.
Yeah.
A little hard for God to work with somebody. You're saved. You receive Christ as Savior. He'll keep his promise. He said, you come unto me and you confess, I'll save you. And you thought by getting saved took care of all the stuff that's still inside of you.
Come on, preacher.
Well, God will accept me for it. No, he won't. He'll save anybody.
That's right.
No matter where you're at. One of my sisters got saved at a footstool. In my mom's house. Got saved at a footstool. I know a guy who stopped his car in the middle of the road. I don't suggest you do this. Got out on his knees and had prayer. Got saved. You can be saved anywhere. But you better get over this idea God will have to accept me for the way I am. No, he won't.
Amen.
No, he won't.
That's right.
See, this is the part of our society. We don't like this kind of preaching. God said, you know why I want you to do this? Not just for this. But this has to happen before this will happen so that without the dirt, that will happen. The first part of from is necessary for the second part. True biblical separation is understood and loved by those who understand and do true biblical separation. We're not allowed to do that. I can't go there. No, my mom and dad won't let me. So you really hate living the Christian life. You know why? Because you're not fully living the Christian life. You're living part of the Christian life. And it's just left you so empty, it doesn't even make sense to you, which really doesn't make sense to me. These people are fulfilled Christians, satisfied with Christianity. People who love this. I'll put me in there. Maybe I'm talking about you too. You said, preacher, I don't want to do this stuff anymore. This is what ruined my life. This is what made me feel sad. No matter how much of this was in me, I just, I hate it, but it's all me. This is what I believe. This is what I like. This is what I've been taught. I don't understand why this is wrong. It's all about you.
Right.
And God saved you.
Amen.
And a lot of Christians seem to think, I'm saved. That's all there is to it. No, you are saved to fill up your life with him. God didn't save you just to go to church. But I'll say it again. If you don't go to church on a regular basis, you'll never be a good Christian. So, their lives are being filled up with God. This is why people... Emptiness does not make me love the Lord more. Not doing does not make me love the Lord more. Okay, real quick, I have just a couple minutes. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Check this out, okay? For all you rebellious kids and you parents that think you love your kids too much to spank them. Well, I wish you had my mom. No, I don't either. My mom's in heaven, by the way. She's tough. 5'2", something like that. Man, you thought she was a giant when it come time to whoop you. Now, watch what it says here in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Go down to verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Do you know that word scourge is the same they did to Jesus before he went to the cross?
Right, yes.
Cat of nine tails. Beat you to death.
Right.
Ready? For whom the Lord, is that right? Can you chastise and scourge somebody and say, I love you? The Lord said he did. Ready? Yes. Scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth? What kind of a father is he that you're doing wrong and he's not set out to straighten you out, to correct your problem? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You don't belong to God. God would be straightening you out, chastising you, taking you to a church where you hear good preaching that just whoops up on your brain and on your soul. But we rebel against that. So, watch what he says here. But if you be without, go to verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. He's talking about real fathers, earthly fathers down here, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. He said, not me, I hate my father. See, there's your rebellion. That's what we're talking about. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits? Not God, not Savior, Father. He wants that relationship. And live. For they, talking about our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And that's true. That's true. Well, it wasn't right what he did. Come on. There's so many times you should have got spanked you didn't get spanked for. You ain't kidding me, none.
Right.
He spanked me this one time and I did. One time and you didn't deserve it? Man, you got over.
Right.
We had Christmas one time. I'll tell you this story. It's about me. I love stories about me. And my dad was still at home and all of us normally got one, maybe two gifts. That's when my dad's home. When he left, it's all over with. And so what happened was, I remember my mom, I don't think she liked children. Every time she got a chance, no matter how cold it was, you kids get outside. I don't want you running in and out of the house. You go outside, you're staying. Mom, it's like 40 below zero. You're staying. Get outside. So we would go out, and in the addition that we lived in at that time, they were building new houses, so there were these big puddles of water in where these basements and stuff were being built, or these slabs were being built, and they were frozen. So what do kids do? Okay, we're sliding back and forth. Well, it just so happened it was warm enough that the ice gave way, and all of my brothers and sisters fell into the water. I didn't fall in the water. They did. So now they go back home with their Christmas boots and stuff on, soaking wet, and my mom had a field day. She was beating everything that moved, everything, everything, including me. When I got up enough nerve, I asked her why. Mom, I didn't fall in the water. What'd you spank me for? My mom looked at me and walked all over the house till she found my hat that her dog got off of my bed and chewed. You shouldn't leave your stuff laying around, and that's why you got spanked. God doesn't do it that way. Every time God chastises us by his word, through an authority, it's because God said, I'm trying to help you now. You need to listen. I'm your father. You need to act like a son or a daughter properly. So this is what God's trying to do. I brought up that illustration just so you feel sorry for me. Now, if your life is, if it's just empty by myself, I mean, it's just me, and nothing is filled up, you're a very empty Christian. And sometimes we look at others and go, how can they be happy like that? What? They're going through a lot of stuff, but how come they still do this or do that? Why is that? Because in your head, it doesn't make any sense. Do you know why? You're empty. You're very, very empty. If I am just separated from and not unto, I'm about done with church. How about you? I mean, why add all of this to your life? You already have enough problems, right? I mean, why stop doing everything that may bring you a little temporary happiness instead of going to that church and I can't do anything fun anymore? How come sinful things are fun and living for God's not? Number one, either you're not saved or you're saved and you have no father-son relationship and you hate separation. Christian, you listen to me. Why separation leaves us empty? Not God's fault. Not the Bible's fault. It's your fault. There's your illustration right there. I could show you a lot more stories, examples, precepts, and Bible on why this is right. We have a lot of Christians. I heard the other day on the news that now even more and more of the XZ, zero generation, whatever you want to label yourself at, is deciding, I don't go to church anymore. I will guarantee you they have every reason on why they're not going to. And almost every reason, if I'm not mistaken, every reason is because of what they want to do. So? Well, I think I am saved. Okay. And I'm not going to stop. I still think it's right to. I never have agreed with that. That never did make sense to me. You're saved. You go where you want. You do what you want. You look at what you want. You listen to what you want. You make up your mind on what you want. You might as well be your own little God. Trouble is, you're saved. If you're truly saved, you're going to answer to God why you kept this here when he wanted this for you. And I think the worst thing is this. I'm going through all of this, and I don't understand a bit of it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Preacher, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to do that now? Why did you preach on that the other day? But see, we never say that because we wouldn't look squeaky clean. So we go along with it, and we're empty. Feel very sad for you. Very, very sad. If that's you, I have an answer for you. First of all, I'd come and tell the Lord, I misunderstood. I thought it was just leaving a bunch of stuff and stopping a bunch of stuff. God, I didn't know it was clearing the way so I could walk with you. I didn't know that. That's honest. Be that way. If you're still fussing about that, I just want you to understand. It's not because of me. It's not because of what we preach. It's not because of our church. It's because you are only going part way with your separation. You separate from so you can separate unto. To be saved and die and just go off into space was not the point. It was to go unto Jesus. And we all agree with that. So let me ask you something. Are you saved first? Let's just start there. Do you even know Jesus as Savior? I didn't say, did you know Jesus? I said as Savior. Oh, yeah, he's the Savior. No, not he is the Savior. Is he your Savior? Amen. Talked to a guy not long ago, and I spent 45 minutes to an hour. And I said, okay, I want to do this one time. If you never hear it again, let me go into detail with the Bible. He goes, okay. Talked to him the whole time. Couldn't talk him out of, I'm not as bad as I used to be. If you keep defending that you're not that bad, you're never going to get saved. Because Jesus didn't come to save people that aren't that bad. He come to save sinners, of which we all are. So until you recognize you as a rotten, filthy, selfish sinner, you say, I'm not that bad. You want to know how bad you were? God had to send his only begotten son to bring you salvation. That's how bad it was. He didn't send another person. He sent his son. That's how bad we were. You said, preacher, your background's bad. Yours is too. You just don't recognize it. You saved? Not do you know about the Savior. Are you saved? I asked the same person. I said, tell me about, do you have a birth certificate? Yeah. Do you know what year you're born? Told me what year. Do you know what day? Told me what day. I said, tell me the day you were saved. Well, I kind of think I always was. I said, why do you think you call it born again? My first one, all kinds of proof. They told me I weighed 5 pounds, 6 ounces, which I'm trying to get down to my original weight, by the way, that they put on their extra cute baby. They put that on my certificate. I still know where mine is. I have mine, my original birth certificate. Have a little footprint on the back of there. It's so cute, y'all see it. Little footprint on the back of there. I have proof. Date, time, weight, hospital, got it all. I know exactly when I was born. And you're trying to convince me the greatest thing that can ever happen to anybody is being born again. You can't remember a day. You can't remember a time. You don't know. I just kind of think I always have been. That's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Maybe that's the problem. Nothing really happened. This morning would be a great time to get saved. Getting saved is not the end all. It is the, I forgive you of your sins. Now you're a child of God. Let's learn to walk towards God. In order to do that, to get close to God, this has got to go. I don't like that. Here's what I want in your life. This is what I want. Let me chastise you. You endure this. It'll be okay. And now I get close to God, and I'm filling my life up with him. Now I understand the purpose. Amen. Now I understand the why. Amen. I need to dump that to fill up with this. Let's pray. Father, thank you.